earlier today, we launched into that truth of how we are going to, and the only way we'll ever be close in a relationship. And again, this is all focused on our godly relationships. And the desire and the need to want to and continue to be close in every one of our relationships. But we saw, in order for Christians to be close in their relationships, we need to first what? Be equally yoked together with believers. Amen. That's how we're equally yoked. Praise God. We need to, when we have our fellowship with one another, we need to be gathered in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I thank God for that. That, you know, again, this isn't something where we have to necessarily, okay, every time we get together, we're going to pray first. That wouldn't be a bad thing. It'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? But that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and that we want that name, and we want, and when we gather in that name, you know what's going to happen is we're going to have the fellowship of the gospel of Christ. There's going to be an encouragement that happens in every single one of our relationships, whether it's with, again, our friends, family, with our relatives, as well as with our spouses and ones we might be courting with. So these are very wonderful things to think about. But in order, as we go on here, to apprehend and realize this closeness, we must be open. And that's the next word, next letter of our word couple is the letter O. And in the O, we're going to see and investigate how beautiful it is to be open. And as you see how we open this up with open, Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. How can we have friends? How can we have relationships if I don't show myself friendly? I've talked to people before, I'm telling you, say, I don't have any friends. Well, with that kind of an attitude and that kind of face, it's kind of no wonder why you're not having any friends. That's a wonderful proverb. You want to be friendly by the grace of God. Hopefully, not something that's fake, but at least that would be pleasant, a smile, something of that nature. I've been accused of having a serious face, just what it is sometimes. But I want to have more of the joy and the thankfulness of the Lord, that at least these eyes might be dancing to say, you know, that fella, you know, he might have something that I can receive of him, that there might be a hope that lies within me. So we need to be overflowing, really, with the love of God in order to have a lot of wonderful relationships that God has for us. And then you have to think again, how could I ever be close with anyone if I ever refuse to open up my life, to open up my heart? We got the wind again. We need to let them know who we are in Christ. Think about this. Could I ever have a solid or a wonderful relationship, let's say even with a spouse, or even to try to have a best friend, if I always kept everything inside? Could you really have a wonderful open relationship if your relationship was always about you? Every conversation was just about you. Every time you opened your mouth, it was about your problems or your issues or things of that nature, where everything is about yourself. Or how about, could I ever have really an open relationship if the only time I wanted closeness with somebody was when it was convenient for me? I don't feel like it. See, without being open in a relationship, there really isn't a relationship. Living a life when we build fences, when we build walls, when we live in secret, closeness will never come to dwell for us. And I believe in order to be open and truly open, in a sense in the Word of God and exposed, if you will, we first must be thankful to who we are in Christ. Psalms 139:14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Young people especially, be thankful for who you are in Christ. Be thankful for who God has made you. You're precious to Him. God gave His Son completely to die for you. He gave Him to be made sin for you. And he made everything about you so specific that it was all for him. And that's the points that I want to bring out right now. You were made by him and you were made for him. Do you know that? Do you know that even as Christians, it goes on to say that we were made to be vessels to the praise and the glory of his grace? That's what we're built for, to praise him, to give him thanksgiving. You were made, can you imagine this, to need him. And we'll go into that, about everything specifically about you. All those things you really want to change in your life. All those things that you wish were different about you were specifically given to you so you would need your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, if you walked around and you were just perfect all the time and you didn't have any needs or anything of that nature, why would you need God? I meet people like that all the time that believe that they don't have any needs. And you know what? Those are the people that never bend their knee or come boldly to the throne of grace with a broken heart to say, Lord, I need you. I need your help. I want you to understand this. Again, before he ever set a star in heaven, before the foundations of the world were ever made, he knew you in Christ. And I'm telling you, by the grace of God, as the word tells us, everything about us, every need, every step of our life were before ordained so that we would walk in the things of God. So precious how intimate we are made for our Lord. And then, in that, you were made for his good pleasure. The Bible tells us that. He takes pleasure in you. You are everything to him. If you ever think that God's going to leave you alone, he won't. Ask any of the adults here. We've all been at times, Lord, I just need you to lay off just a little bit with how much you love me. I need a little time, downtime. But it doesn't work like that. He is a jealous God. He loves you with a jealous love and a godly jealousy, if I say it that way. But think about that jealousy of God. It's a wonderful thing. I know we never want to be jealous. It's crueler than the grave. But this is speaking of God's passion for us and God's passion specifically for you. He wants you for his own. He wants you completely to himself. And when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you know that it says that you were bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus, that you are not your own. You are his. I pray that that's something that's comforting to your life. He cares for you like that. That he is absolutely head over heels in love with every one of his sons. And that means mankind, in a sense, mankind of the ones that have taken Christ as Savior. So we can say, in a sense, his daughters as well, too. But he refers to us all as sons. All right. Going on. So, what do we need to do? And one of the first things is get over and stop being self-conscious. Because what did we just read? You're wonderfully and fearfully made by who? By God. Amen? You weren't made, like I say, by, some people say, well, I don't want a Ford. I don't want a Chevy. I want a Toyota. Well, I want a BMW. I want a Ferrari. I don't want any of those. I want to be made by God, and he made me. Do you understand what I'm saying? He made you. You're made by the very best. There isn't anything that can compare to him. And he made you just like you are. By the grace of God, in being made exactly who we are, the Lord give us the peace that we not be self-conscious. God help us to quit holding back, quit hiding, and truly be who you are in Christ. You sometimes get a little bit tempted that maybe you think you need to be a little different, that maybe you need to be since you're maybe an athlete. I know we have athletes in here. Well, I've got to pretend I'm a little bit cooler. I've got to do what athletes do in order for them to really bring me in. Well, I don't know. I like what godly athletes do. You know what they do? They be who they are in Christ. And that's it. And it's either I am who I am by the grace of God, and if that's not who you want me to be, I am sorry, but I'm not going to be anybody else. You in, and let people accept you for who you are in Christ. And especially young ladies, too. I know that that can be such a battle in a lot of things, and trying to be popular to young men. And we can even bring this into the business world for the adults as well, too. This applies all the way up. This is even in our meetings. You know, sometimes we think we have to be like brother so-and-so or sister this and that. By the grace of God, you are such a wonderful vessel to the Lord. Just be to the praise and the glory of His grace. It's magnificent. I'm thankful to God that none of us look alike. None of us, in a sense, think alike. We all have different kinds of desires and thoughts and all of those different things. But the oneness in who we really are is we are all one in Christ. And you in Christ is the only all-glorious one that you'll ever be. By the grace of God, really ask the Lord to bring that to your heart. And notice what we're emphasizing here. In Christ. In Christ. Always in Christ. You are made to perfectly need Him. And I want to examine that just for a minute. In being made perfectly to need Him, that means even, because I hear a lot of different things, all your down settings. I mentioned it just a minute ago. Those things you wish you might have a different in your life. I'm talking about maybe even things that are chemically, biologically. Maybe you wish you looked different. I appreciate how Brother Hawkins has always said when he was growing up, I wish my nose was smaller. I wish this was that way. But everything about you is so beautiful to Christ. And especially those things that you think are great flaws in your life. It's in those areas of your life that you'll draw nigh to the Lord. I'm talking about things that even we might want different. Maybe in our families and in our homes. Some of us might not have, in a sense. We heard a couple young people testify last night. They were wondering where groceries were going to come from. I imagine 99% or 98% of the people in this room have never really wondered where your groceries were going to come from. Huh? Amen. Be thankful to God. But at the same time, God didn't overlook those two lives. God wasn't shorting them or slighting them. God knew that they needed that need in order to be able to come to a church camp to stand up and say, I'm thankful for Jesus that He showed me that even if I don't think I have groceries or we need food, He still delivers. Amen? Praise the Lord. I think about those things. I think about how sometimes we think we want to change our looks or we want to be a different way. Yes, about these people that have grown up and in the Lord, and thanking God for their relationships and how the Lord has brought them a godly spouse and how the Lord makes you one. And I'm telling you, when that really happens in your life, you don't want to change a thing. You don't want anything different because God's in it. God's in it. And when God's in it, it's exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. But that's why it's all in Christ. The Bible says that we are body, soul, and spirit. And I thank God today as we are looking at this part, that soul. I've got Jesse's soul. There's Iman's soul. There's Marshawn's soul. There's Sid's soul. They're all beautifully different. But we're all one in Christ. And in that soul, I was built specifically to need the Lord. And let me tell you something. I still need the Lord. Can you imagine? Yes, I do. And matter of fact, I need Him more and more all the time. See, when I'm weak, then I'm made strong in Him. But let's go back to that soul for a second, and I want you to think about this. Here's Jesse's soul. And let's say that, well, the Lord made me to have a real quick temper. And I just like to really speak my mind real fast, and if you rub me wrong, you're going to hear about it. So am I supposed to just go with that? No? You don't think so, right? I don't think so either. What happens then? We have a lot of different young people in this room, okay? Actually, let's not pick on the young people. Let's talk about the older ones back there, okay? Some of you have been blessed that maybe you never had a taste for alcohol. Maybe it's never been a problem. Some of you maybe have had you have a life where alcohol is something you really like to have. Is that something we just go with because that's what I desire? That's what I have? No, that's very obvious, right? But I want you to think about every single thing that man begins to continue to lay out in our lives. We're all going to have tendencies. We're all going to have, in a sense, our needs that God gives us. I might have one that might be to jealousy. I might be quick-tempered. There are people that seem to be, I want to be really upfront and honest with you, might be more promiscuous. They might have more of an urge to be with people or things of that nature sexually. Does that mean you just go with it? That means I need to be on my knees. And I need to be praying and seeking the strength of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come in to help me. And I can look at every one of you, and I know that every one of you with Jesus know what those needs are. Because there ain't one perfect one in this room except for the life that lives in each one of the child of God in this room. Amen? Okay. So let's just get it out and get it straight. And you know what? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Did you know that? And sin is sin. Now, on the other side of that, which I love, which is the cross, he that's born of God doth not commit sin, neither can he sin. So I know in Christ that's all been taken care of. But I also know that the Lord wants me to live a godly life. He wants me to be encouraged, again, to walk in the Spirit. Amen? And then I won't fulfill the what? The lusts of the flesh. Notice how that is. I'm not going to fulfill the lusts of the Spirit, and then I'm going to walk with God. See, that's how most people try to approach this. No, you walk in the Spirit. Let's go back to the wineskin and how they used to get the impurities out of the wine. They didn't go sticking their hands in there to try to filter it and get it out. The way that they finally figured to get the wine out of those skins, that's how they used to put the wine in and get the wine to sit and to ferment right and all of that. But the way they would get that wine to be pure was to keep pouring more wine in, more walking in the Spirit, more hearing the Word of God, more gathering amongst people of like precious faith, more praying in the Spirit even. Can you imagine? And that encourages your life by God's grace to just walk in the Spirit. And what happens when I'm consumed walking in the Spirit? I don't have time to think about as much. And then finally, maybe I don't even have time to think about it no more, are those lusts of the flesh. Does that make sense? I pray it does. Because your self-willpower will always fail you. Only the Spirit of God, only that yielding, wonderful Spirit of God is what's your victory. So I thank God in that. So, going on here. We need to believe, as we approach this about communication, that the beauty is Christ in you. The beauty is not trying to be something you're not, trying to be a perfect one, a cool one, somebody that you think you have to present. I always like thinking about diamonds. Do you know how they know if a diamond really is a diamond? It's got a flaw. it's got a flaw. If it's perfect and it says it has no flaw, and there's no such thing, even if they say it's a flawless diamond, there's still a flaw in it. It would never be a diamond. Without you understanding diamonds, the beauty of the flaws in your life, you'd never be a diamond. We're studying the book of John back home. And there's that story about the blind man, which is so beautiful. And how he was just kind of ridiculed and pushed aside. And matter of fact, the religious ones would ask him and ask his family, what horrible sin did you do that made this young man come out blind? Dumbest thing you ever heard, but that's what self-righteous people do. That's their attitude. What did you do to deserve your situation or your circumstance? God specifically touched that man to be blind. And he did. Because that man was blessed because he realized that he could not see. Whereas the self-righteous ones, religious ones, believe that they just see everything and they don't have a problem. Recognize that you have problem after problem, and that is the most beautiful thing because it's what draws you nigh to God. And in that wonderful story of the blind man, what did Jesus do? He actually took up clay, spit in it, put it in his eyes, and he made it known even more so, you can't see. I'm magnifying your blindness. And then he gave him the instruction, go and wash. And how are we washed? By the blood. That's exactly what that meant. And you know what that guy did? I'm just going to go wash. Because I know that's the word of God. And you know what happened after he washed? He could see. Praise the Lord. Do you see that even with the situations in your life? It's always the same thing. Recognize the need for the grace of God. And this is so Christ-like. So Christ-like. Think about how even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was made. And I know most of us see pictures on a wall, and as Brother Hill used to say, it looks like the face of a woman and so beautiful, and they stuck a beard on him. You know, just to make him look like this flawless one. If you really know the Word of God, there is no beauty that we would behold Him. There was no humanly thing that His appearance ever made anybody attracted to Him. He was lowly. He was from an outcast family. And think of how outcast the family was. It looked as if He was born out of wedlock. But that's exactly how God had the King of Kings and Lord of Lords come to this earth as the one that was lowly and despised. And why again? To magnify the grace of God. Praise the Lord. If you have a lot of needs here today, you're a very blessed one because you have a lot of encouragement to spend a lot of time with the Lord. And you know that? That is every life here. Because if you don't think you have a lot of needs, you just found out, boy, do you really have a lot of needs. Amen? Amen. Now, I know it might be hard to unwrap that kind of a thing. Just give this a second before we hit this next slide. But if we've been playing a role, and we've been being somebody that we're really not in the Lord, no time like now to be you. I want you to think about how Peter got himself in trouble. You know, Peter was just a lowly fisherman. Amen? Amen. And that's what he was. But once he got around Jesus, he was the valiant knight in shining armor that was going to save Jesus. That wasn't who Peter was. Peter tried to do that, didn't he? He said, oh Lord, all these guys might fail you, but not me. Because I'm better than them, even though I really am just a lowly fisherman. And what happened to Peter? He was sorely embarrassed, wasn't he? Because the Lord even told him at that time, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter didn't learn that again, did he? He had to say, oh no, but I'm your knight in shining armor. Lord, they might deny you and all those types of things, but I'm never going to deny you. And then finally the Lord said to him, I'll tell you what, Peter, when they start taking me off to be crucified, before the next day, before that cock crows, you're going to deny me not once, but you're going to deny me three times. Three times. And what happened? Peter denied him three times. And that last time, he saw Jesus looking at him as they were dragging him off to be crucified. Do you see how important it is to be the lowly, precious vessel that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has made you? Do not try to be something you're not. Be thankful and submit to Him. Give that heart wholly to Him. How wonderfully and perfectly made you are to need Him. And here's the facts of who we are in the Lord. First of all, we're born of God. We are of Him. We died and His life lives in us. We are not our own. We're purchased with the blood of Jesus. So by the grace of God, be like Him. Amen? If we're of God, because we're born of God, and if the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is our life that lives in us, I believe that that tells us very clearly what our life is and what our life should be. We need to be, hallelujah, who we are in Christ. And what lovable sorts we'll be when we be who we are in Christ. And how unique each and every one of us are. How beautiful each and every one of us are. Do you realize that, honeys? I pray you do. You are so beautiful to the Lord. Be beautiful to Him. And how beautiful your life continues to be. Hallelujah. All right. Now, secondly, we must open up to one another. And this is a big one. When I say open up to one another, now we've just understood that we need to open up to the Lord, open up to God to understand that we're wonderfully and fearfully made. We need to be who we are in Christ. But now once that openness of that who we are in Christ, now we need to be open to one another in our relationships. I've heard a buzz saying many times, he just shuts down on me. And in that I could see a couple ears perk up. Yep, that's my husband. and I will say, men sometimes have a harder time with this than women do. God help us to not just keep everything inside, to keep thinking that we need to internalize everything. That we're just going to have to go out there and I'm just going to deal with this alone and let nobody really figure out what's going on. Oftentimes men think that's a sign of strength. We're kind of slow and thick-headed when we think that way. But we think that that's how we're going to handle something. It shows how strong I am. And really, all it is something very negative. It pushes away our spouse often. It causes a very standoffish attitude. And it divides as opposed to bringing something together. And I'm going to tell you something. When we are ones that just internalize everything all the time, nothing's going to grow from that state. Matter of fact, it's going to be very much the opposite. It's going to tear down what you already have. And that's the truth. The reason I know that is because the Bible tells us that little foxes spoil the whole vine. The other thing the Word of God says is to root out every root of bitterness. And if we don't get in there and have those things changed in our lives and rooted out, there'll be a forest so overwhelming that I'm going to tell you something, it's going to be a very difficult battle. But openness is communication. We need to communicate with one another. But there's a way we need to communicate, and we need to communicate in love. Yes, we need to be loving when we communicate, not quick-tempered, things of that nature. We also need to be kind when we communicate. We need to be sincere when we communicate by the grace of God. And we need to communicate often with soft words. If I'm always communicating with you like this, exactly what happened? You went like this. Whoa. But if I talk like this, and I talk really soft, you usually lean in. Now, it's not just about the tone of our voice, but it's the tone of our heart. And it's that kindness and gentleness that, let me tell you something, people perceive it. Our spirits perceive that. And I want to have a gentle heart to be able to communicate. And what happens when all of these things begin to work in our communication, love, kindness, sincerity, and soft words, it begins to make our partner open up too. They don't shut down. They become more open. It's not just this one-way kind of thing. It's something that flows back and forth and there's life in it. Brother Rod was showing pictures of Israel. There's a sea there called the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea, what happens is all the water runs into it, but it doesn't run out, and the sea is just dead because nothing's ever flowing out of it. Flows in, gets all the attention, but never cares about anything else, and it doesn't have any fish in it, nothing. It's dead. But then there's the Sea of Galilee that has water that flows in and water that flows out, and it's equal. It's an evenness. And that sea has life, abundance, fishes, amazing. And that's how our lives need to be in our partnerships. And when we have that in our friendships and with our family and with our loved ones and especially in our marriages, how wonderful our relationship and our communication can be. Now, Psalm 141:3, this is a big one. Lord, set a watch before my mouth. And I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but my mouth has gotten me in a lot of trouble. Matter of fact, my mouth has gotten me in more trouble than any other part of my body. And I believe everybody else can say the same thing too. We have to understand that but for the grace of God, our mouths are very venomous things. They're very bitter. They can be very wicked. They can be very sour. God needs to control it. And when God controls our mouth, and that's really God controlling our heart, what happens is our language changes. We actually have a love language that we speak with one another. And we have kind words. We have soft words. We have encouraging words. Can you imagine? We even begin to edify one another. And edify means to spiritually encourage each other. And there's nothing greater in any relationship you could ever have than to be in a spiritual encouragement to one another. You don't want to be condemning. You don't want to be the one always correcting the other and things of that nature, because you don't do the correction anyways. You know who does? God does. And His Word is so beautiful in it. But if I'm just quoting you Scripture to be harsh, if I'm just quoting you Scripture to be condemning, let me tell you something. Without love, it profits nothing. It profits nothing at all. If I'm just abusive in my speech, even though I'm speaking the Word of God, it profits nothing. It must be in love. Without love, nothing is profitable. And that is so important that we'll get to it in a minute, but out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's a wonderful thing. Maybe I should have flipped those around, because I think that's more even imperative first before you're slow to speak and quick to hear, which is James 1:19. Because when we have this love in our hearts and this abundance of love, you know what? I begin to care what the other person says. I begin to care what the other person thinks. Matter of fact, I want to hear what the other person says, and I want to hear what the other person thinks, praise God, and that causes me maybe to be a little bit slower to speak my mind and a little bit more quick to hear. Think about how much trouble that would have, there not would have been in your life if you would have been more slow to speak and quick to hear. And that's hard for people that are quick-witted. That's very hard for people that have funny minds, that always think they have to say the funny thing, because a punchline's got to come real fast. But a punchline can also be very hurtful. And I know this because I get in the front of the line in that. I still want to be who I am in Christ. I love to have that young roe heart. But in godly wisdom and in God's true love, those words best be kind and loving and gentle, or I'm not going to edify you. Now, I want to make sure that you understand this. This isn't just to flatter one another. This isn't to just, again, walk around and say, well, everything goes. This isn't to compromise our stand. No, we stand in the Word of God, but we stand in love, in truth, in love. And that's what's going to be effective in our testimonies. And as we begin to walk through this life, is to give out this love. And see, out of the abundance of the heart, this second one here, that's really all telling. Is our openness love? Okay? I want these are kind of some questions to come forth a little bit. Is my openness, because I've talked to people a lot, especially over these last 10 years. They come in, sit on that couch. Well, I'm open. They know exactly where I'm standing. I said, man, I know exactly where you're standing too. You're standing right on the edge of the cliff and, you know, you're just taking a big leap off standing there. Because, yeah, you're communicating, but listen to what your heart is saying. Listen to what, again, is coming forth out of your heart. And one of the things I've noticed about some folks that are communicators is, are we really just like a ticking time bomb waiting to just be set off? Do we have these buttons that are, they're pushed? You know, I'm kind and I'm loving and I'm going to go along with everybody. But if you push this button about my life, maybe about my past, maybe if you say this thing about me, and you might even be intentionally trying to hurt me. But see, even if somebody's trying to intentionally hurt you to, again, bring that up or draw that out of you, remember, it's not that person that's doing that. Do you know that? That's just spiritual wickedness. If I'm really trying to hurt somebody else, I know that that's not Christ in me. I know that's a wicked thing. Amen? But I also know if I'm the one that's the receiver or the recipient of that, even though you meant it for evil, God has meant it for my good. Amen? Do you believe God knows you like that? Do you think he's put you in those circumstances and conversations with people that have intentionally come? And I'm talking about other Christians that might hurt you. Sinners don't hurt us very much. What we always are more sensitive with is our brothers and sisters in Christ. Come on, we know that. This is what we're talking about. We already got through the first part of this thing about being equally yoked together. And in Jesus' name, by the grace of God, I believe you receive and get that. Now we're just going right along that we're walking in the Lord. So again, I'm just all good and I'm all loving. Man, you just said something and I'll tell you what, I'm going to tear your eyes out right now. What's the state of my heart? The state of my heart, it's predicated upon what you say. It's not the abundance of my heart, the love of God. It's a big thing. Pray about it. And let the Lord encourage you. What about this? Is my mouth always talking about me? Every time somebody asks me how I'm doing, half hour later, they're just, oh my gosh, I wish I wouldn't have asked. And then is it the same old thing that's coming out? Oh, poor me and all my troubles and this. How about talking about how good the Lord is? Or if the Lord's given you a trial, an ache, or whatever it is, to say, you know what, I am hurting, but I thank God it's a need that I have to trust him. Turn it to the testimony of what Christ is in you, as opposed to, again, this thing where you're just obsessed with you. Is my mouth always being critical? Do I always try to find the thing to complain about? God help us, amen. I appreciated Brother Hill so much, and he'd bring this out often. In that one little passage so precious in the Word of God, it says, meditate on these things. Whatsoever things are true, true. And it's interesting because it didn't say meditate on whatsoever thing is the truth. See, there may be a truth about you that's not really pleasant. There might be a truth about something's even going on in this camp or whatever it is, you know, that could be different, that might not be pleasant. I don't want to dwell upon maybe something that's not pleasant. Why don't I dwell upon what is true, what is encouraging, edifying? God help us. It's not a half glass full. I'm so thankful I grew up under my mother, who is always encouraging. And people would say, oh, you're just some happy, you just are like living in Wonderland and all of that. And she would like, yes, my life is even beyond a fairy tale because it's real. We have heartaches, we have troubles, we have all these things, but I know that it's for my good. I know God is going to perfect that which concerns me. How could I not be happy in the Lord when I know that my life is 100% winner? Huh? Praise God. Oh, Lord, help us to believe the word of God like that, and we'll be some happy people, won't we? But see, how can I think things to be expected to change when we don't communicate and communicate in love? When ones don't talk, when we don't communicate, you know what happens? We start imagining things. Anybody a good imagination in here about, oh my goodness, she's thinking of this of me, and you know that one didn't talk to me. Now you got to stop that, because I do that too. You know, you're always way ahead of God. Oh, this is what they're thinking. I know, I got the feeling here. I know exactly what you're saying. You don't even have to say it. No, you don't. You're not God. And that's the truth. And if you think that there is an issue, it's not to just get into somebody's face. First of all, you need to be on your knees and asking the Lord for the wisdom in those things. But if you perceive that you've offended somebody, you know what the Bible says? Go to your brother and say, hey, look, I don't know if you're feeling about it. And I've had people come to me and said, oh, man, I know. And it was like, honestly, I didn't even know what they were talking about. And that is the truth. But see, we can get our imaginations going so much that we're thinking, oh my gosh, that person just hates my God. And believe it or not, even in your own homes, because we don't communicate. Jesus, help us. Amen. Now, we need to know and communicate in love and not have the other guessing. So, if I'm not a good communicator, how can this change happen to me? Well, I'm telling you, I don't think I communicated very well for a long time. And when I thought I started communicating well, you were getting all of what I thought was important. And then once you started talking, it might have been a little bit I was going to listen to, and that was it. Here's how it must be. We must be open and sincere with God and embrace Him. This is how we become open and a wonderful communicator. Psalm 139:2. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. And this is a great time, brothers and sisters, in the same thing to think about. 139, Psalm 23 and 24. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, why am I bringing this out? It's because the Lord knows you. The Lord knows you even more than you. And believe it or not, we can even fool ourselves. We can. We can think that we're fine, and we can compartmentalize things. We can put things that we've never dealt with, issues and things like that, so far back in our minds that it was never dealt with God. King David tried to do that with his indiscretion with Bathsheba. He thought that, well, I'm going to be okay, and we're just going to lay this down aside, and I'm just going on, and I'm the king anyways, so it's all good. Well, the word of God searched him. Yes, that's exactly what the prophet represents that came to see him. That's the word of God. And the word of God gave him that wonderful story about that little sheep That little sheep that that man owned, and it was the only sheep that he had. And that sheep was his pet, and that sheep would eat at the table with his family. And then some guy came to town that the rich man wanted to entertain, and the rich man that had a lot of sheep said, well, I don't want to take any of my sheep. I'm just going to take that poor man's sheep, and we're going to slaughter it, and we'll have that one for dinner. And you know what David said? We're going to kill that man that did that. He should have never done that. And as the word of God searched David's heart, he said, David, you're that man. By taking that wife of Uriah, that poor soldier, all he had, and David had all that abundance, but he had to have that. The word of God searched him and said, David, you're the man. Huh? Are you open with God enough to say, Lord, search me? Always. Lord, search my heart. If I'm being an angry person, if I'm kind of always bitter and quick with people, leave me alone. Something's going on in here that's not right. Amen? Young people, I understand this because I know a lot of times our parents continue to tell us things. I know most all of your parents here. One thing I do know is they love the Lord. And the other thing I know is that they're not always perfect. They do make mistakes. They're fallible and all of those things. But they love you. And there's no one that wants a betterment for your life than your parents. There isn't. When we start to get quick and ugly and things of that nature, God help us to hit our knees, to have that tenderness, to say, search me, O Lord. You have got to change this. Don't let just because I'm 16, 17, 18, 19, when everybody says, well, that's your rebellious years. They don't have to be. Ones that are married in the back, it's the same thing. You don't have to be irritable people with one another. By the grace of God, let the Lord change you. Let the Lord search you. Let the change come from you. And by the grace of God, then that works effectually in all of our wonderful partners that we'll have. Now finally, and I'm going to hit this section pretty quick. This is something that I think is very, very important. I know you're kind of sleepy, but wake up for this one. Because this is a big one. The enemy wants nothing more than to shut you down. And one of the greatest battles I see coming on our society right now is feeling sorry for ourselves. There it is. Trying to cause you to be a victim. A victim. That's the devil wants to get you to have the thought of being a victim. That everybody is a victim. If the enemy can get you to thinking you're a victim, he's going to divide and he's going to conquer. He's doing that in our society right now. And we must fight that off, fight that label off of being a victim. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. There was only one victim that's ever lived, and that's your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he was the one that took sin and became and was made sin for you. But the devil is consumed with this, because where the devil wants to get each and every one of us is in a state of self-pity. That somehow you're owed something, that somehow you were slighted. And I'm talking about marriages as well too. Any of us that are married, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That I've done all of this and I was kind and everything. And I'll tell you what, this just went down and I'm the victim. I'm going to go right back to where we started this section. Do you have a perfect God, and does he love you with a perfect love? Does he? Or did he just make a mistake on you? Or he just wanted to kind of abuse your life a little bit more than somebody else's? I'm going to tell you something. I'm absolutely convinced, and I have no doubt, that he loves you beyond any love that you could ever imagine. And we must fight against this label. The world and its speak, its It tries to make every one of us a victim and live in defeat. And there is nothing more divisive going on than when you label yourself a victim. Because when you become a victim, what happens is you pull away. When you become a victim, you begin also to think of lots of ways that you're going to be paid back. You can become jealous. You can become a coveter. As it says even about jealousy, it's crueler than the grave. And we must battle feeling sorry for ourselves, even if it is warranted, even when we were wrong, even if we've had terrible events happen to us in our childhood, all of the different experiences. We must let the love of the Word of God and its promises to perfect that which concerns you to reign in our lives. It's huge. You'll never be a full overcomer in the Lord until you begin to embrace all of those down settings. Everything about your life is perfectly made to need Him. To know, the Bible promises in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to them that love God. That He perfects everything that concerns us. Praise be to God. And finally, as we get to our Search Me, O Lord section, think about these last things as we close this out. Do we show ourselves friendly? Huh? I like this, kind of thinking of this way. Am I a porcupine or am I easy to love? What are you? Some people think it's funny to be a porcupine. I'm just always kind of grouchy or complaining and all that. I feel sorry for you. I'd rather be joyous and encouraging. How about you? Huh? Those are things we need to think about. And God help us to be easy to love. I believe Christ Jesus is easy to love, is He not? Amen? Amen. And then, how do I communicate? Is it a one-way street? Is my communication, you know what, I only want to hear what I want to hear, and if you got anything else to say that I don't want to hear, I'm not going to listen to it. That's not a good communicator. And if we go back to the earlier lesson, what did I say about bad relationships and what was pointed out about unhealthy things in other relationships? And I'm even talking about unhealthy things maybe with our parents. Maybe our parents, you say, I don't want to hear that, and I don't want to do that. Believe it or not, that's going to even go on over to our friends. That'll go on over to grandpa's. That'll even go on over to, it just keeps spreading. Little roots of bitterness, if they're not rooted out, they're forests. The little foxes will spoil it all. Am I always complaining and criticizing? What's coming out of my mouth? Is the abundance of my heart something that's unhappy? And then I can blame that upon, well, it's because of my circumstances. It's because of my situation. Is that supposed to be my happiness? Is my circumstances or my situation? Or is my happiness and my joy the Lord? And then finally, is the abundance of my heart consistent in all my relationships? Kind of gets back to what I was just mentioning about God help us to have a consistent heart. And we'll get to that as we go on in this study. But pray about these things. These are very, very important. Our relationships with our parents, our families, our relationships with our friends, especially our relationship in our courtship, our relationship, obviously, with our spouses. Let the love of God reign. Let there be great tenderness in our lives. And as we get to the letter P, which will be tomorrow, if the Lord tarry, that's the peacemaker. That's the peace that passes all understanding, that by the grace of God goes on with openness. So let's stand and be dismissed.